historic occasion. I represent the six towns on the island of Martha's Vineyard and the tribe of the sovereign nation of the Aquinnah-Wampanoags. I just want to call it the attention of the council to the letter that we have submitted that's in the council documents. It's got the six seals of the towns and the seal of the tribe of the Wampanoags. Just asking that the perhaps at the next meeting of the Groundfish Advisory Committee that they consider the open access component of ground fishery and whether the members of the open access component will possibly be allowed to participate in sectors. And I also call your attention to another letter that actually provides some pretty good reasons, and that one's from the Commercial Anglers Association. Russell Cleary wrote that. He couldn't make it to this meeting. I just would hope that, you know, I was at the groundfish meeting where they discussed the recreational component, and they went back to the years 1982, I think, to consider the landings of the recreational fishery. I was just trying to think in terms of our community. We have some days at sea permit holders, but with 0 days, some day at sea guys with sea days. And none of those people would be accommodated under these alternatives. I hope I'm still on the other business, not, you know, I just want to be on the radar, and maybe you guys will discuss that at the next groundfish advisory. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Anyone else? John Williamson?
John Williamson, Ocean Conservancy, and I also want to call attention to a letter that we have in the very far back of the binder. Number of times today I've heard the phrase statement, this is the allocation amendment that you're working on. I think that is absolutely correct. And I was under the understanding that this was the amendment that was going to be dealing with the midterm adjustment to the groundfish plan and incorporating ACL and 8M. And that this all has to be done by the June council meeting to go out to public hearing in a DEIS. I have to say that I personally have no love for the days at sea system. We think that the sector plan development is very important as a vehicle for incorporating output controls in groundfish, going from input controls to output controls. And I have to say that there's been some really substantive discussion that's gone on at the committee, and today is as difficult as the discussion has been today. This is very heartening discussion. I'm really thrilled to be following what's going on here. So I have a lot of admiration for the sector development. But I think, and for that reason, Ocean Conservancy would not normally be commenting on your scheduling and your human resources. But at this point, it is very clear to us that the sector development is going to take a lot of time. And to do it right, you don't want to rush this. And you certainly don't want to try to cram this into the next 4.5 months, considering the statutory obligatory actions that you have to take also in the next 4.5 months. We are strongly urging you to put the sector development temporarily on the back burner. Let these allocation issues simmer. Get your statutory obligations out of the way. That would be to set up the framework for the midterm adjustment, and that the GARM 3 numbers can be plugged into when they're available, and to do a basic process for incorporating ACL and AM into the Days at Sea plan, rather than try to do what the committee has already launched on at the meeting last week, which if anybody has read the memo from the Groundfish PDT that's dated January 11th, which is an attempt to look at the issues that would be involved with incorporating ACL and AAM measures in a sector planning, the sector planning process, have some very, very complex issues that are being identified by the PDT, and they've just gotten started. It's just the tip of the iceberg. You're not going to get that done between now and middle of June, and you shouldn't try. On the other hand, if you can just develop basic measures, develop around the Days at Sea program, that would serve to that wouldn't be time wasted. It would serve to cover the common pool vessels in as you develop the sector planning process, and then once those obligatory items are out of the way, you're free from the deadlines that they impose, so that you can work on the sector planning process, have the give and take with the industry, understand that you're moving that it will be done under an allocation amendment, and let the process of developing sectors and output controls take the course that it's going to take, without trying to get it done on the fly. So we would urge you very strongly to today, and certainly by the February meeting, readjust your expectations about what you're going to get done in this amendment, and focus simply on those obligatory actions. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Come forward. Put the mic on, please.
You're doing this, all right? Roger Bryson is my name, and I do a rod and reel fishing. And before I make a couple of comments, I know you guys got a real tough job. You know, I've been coming to meetings for a long time, off and on, and I've been jigging for over 30, 35 years. And I got a hand gear category A permit, and that's what I do for a living. But for a long time, I've been doing that. And on the discard problem, just something more, you know, I'm not going to say too much, because I know you're kind of busy and stuff, but on a discard situation, I think the rolling closure causes a lot of that, because what happens, the fish got all tight together. For example, in October and November, nobody can fish south of 4230, and the fish gets really tight there on the bank and all around these areas. And then when it opens up, everybody's limited to so many fish it can catch. I don't have that problem because I do rod fishing. But the gill nets and the draggers, you know, they can't help it. They catch a lot of fish, and they can only keep so much of them, and the rest goes overboard. And I've been watching that for years. It's kind of sad, because you guys are working so hard to rebuild the fishery, and all the discard that goes on, it's very sickening. I think the rolling closure probably helps to do that. I think that when the ocean is open all the time, everybody spreads out. They don't go all tight in one spot and pound the fish really hard. So I think that might be more beneficial to the fishery and rebuilding the stock by really paying attention to what's happening on the closed area when they reopen it. So I think if you just keep it open, it'll do a lot of less discarding. That's probably the biggest issue that I can think of. The other thing I just want to make a comment on, like, in April and May, as you know, nobody can fish. You know, a guy like myself, I'm out of work completely for 8 weeks. I can't do nothing. I can't go fishing, because that's all I do. And because of the type of fishing that I do with a rod and reel, there's not that many guys that do that. There's a handful of us that have been doing that for a long time. And now we don't have a paycheck for 8 weeks. I talked about that before. If it's possible, you better just consider it. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. But you consider it, maybe allowing us a special access just so we can, you know, nothing serious, you know, just pay our rent, you know, just buy some food and stuff like that. Like, allow us a way to go out and get maybe, you know, 3 or 4 days of fishing a week. Just so we can pay our bills. Because you got, I'm sure you get a check all the time. For 2 months, guys like me don't. That's kind of hard. So might want to think about that. Thanks.
Mike Russo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Russo, Chatham. I'd like to get an answer on what's going to happen if the 50-50 split goes through. I have a permit that I transferred in the stacking program. And my baselines, I got 3 baselines on 1 permit. And how in the 50-50 split are you going to accommodate the 2nd permit that I stacked? I'm going to get credit for the history, but what's going to happen with the transferred permits? I'm being penalized for taking advantage of that program, I feel, at this time. I haven't heard an answer yet.
I don't know that we're going to be able to answer that right now, but make sure that the committee and the PDT are aware of that issue. So when they look at this, they'll hopefully be able to answer that.
Well, I'm extremely opposed to this 50-50 split. I believe it should be catch history only. Thank you.
Yes, sir, in the back with the blue shirt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joel Hovenesian, fishing vessel Excalibur, Point Judith, Rhode Island. I think moving forward here, first let me say that we need alternatives 2 days at sea. There's no doubt about it. However, rushing willy-nilly into a plan that is so complicated, I don't think does anybody any justice. That being said, I would hope that any allocation alternatives that get put into the document are going to be supported by a majority of the people within the industry. We have to have cohesion amongst everybody that's going to be affected by this. There's so many problems that I can see coming forward out of all this. I mean, we know now that we've known for a while that the landings data that NIMS uses and is calculated for our vessels is poor at best. I can cite an example of the freezer trawlers in Davisville in Rhode Island who have never had a groundfish permit yet have groundfish landings on their landings history. I mean, we're gonna start going down a road here that's gonna open up the biggest can of worms you've ever seen in your life. It's unimaginable what this is gonna turn into before it's all said and done. The other thing that I'd like to bring attention to is the unreliability of the science that we're using. I hate to be redundant. I was at the meeting a week ago, and I mentioned the fact that, you know, the analogy that I used was we're being asked to build a new house on the same old broken foundation, and that foundation is bad science, inadequate science, unreliable science, science that everybody knows and everybody admits is poor at best. And until the day comes that we can get industry involved in this science and have it accepted by the service, you're going to have the industry skeptical about anything that the service is doing. There has to be something moving forward with a provision that does allow the industry to do some scientific research along with the agency, and also have it be under some sort of independent review. And short of that, if the agency insists on continuing doing its own science, then independent review is an absolute must, because there's absolutely no happiness within the industry as far as the science that we're dealing with. So, thank you.
Ron Smolowitz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Smolowitz, Kunameset Farm. The subject I want to bring up is energy. As you know, I do a lot of work with renewable resources, renewable energy, and we grow crops on land. And recently, in a lot of the farming meetings, a subject has come up which I never really heard before, and I would suggest that council members maybe go home and Google it. It's called peak oil. I don't know if you've ever heard the term before. But I know we have a lot of problems now. We talk about bycatch. We're talking about allocation. The driving force in 3 years from now is going to be fossil fuel. And I think the council needs to get ahead of the game and start considering in all its measures what the impact of a measure is regarding the use of fuel. In 1973, when the U.S. reached peak oil, and we had that crisis when I was working in Woods Hole, I was put on a task force, and the assignment was, how would the government harvest the fish when oil gets rationed? And it was a very interesting exercise, and if you think about it, if energy and fossil fuel becomes scarce, and we have to provide food, what the government's going to do, it's going to issue RFPs to go out for proposals to ask people, how can you harvest our fish with the least amount of fuel? And the council needs to start thinking about that, because one option, of course, is rationalization, consolidation, so that you have a high catch per unit effort. But the other one is to provide incentives for people to go out and harvest fish with minimum fuel consumption. And I think you need to, while we have all these issues in front of us right now, and bycatch seems to be a driving issue, the bottom line is we're going to have to figure out how to harvest this fish in a world where fuel is going to be scarce and very expensive. And now's the time to start bringing that calculation into everything that we're doing. So I know it's sort of an early warning, but 2012, we'll be talking fuel here.
Harriet. All right, Aaron, and then Harriet.
My name is Aaron Doherty. I'm the project director for the Down East Initiative in Stonington, Maine. And I'm representing my organization, about 24 coastal communities in Washington and Hancock counties, and about 28 limited access permit holders with virtually no A-days left on their permits. And I just want to urge the council to leave open the opportunity for broader community access as stocks recover. Thanks.
Harriet?
I just wanted to bring up a couple of points and ask a question. Last week when I attended that seminar about sectors, I hear everybody said, you know, get rid of the days at sea. But as these people talked from these two sectors, the Gillnetter, they're using days at sea. The sector uses a day at sea. And also, as they spoke further, they took their allocation that they were given from the all-over allocation on the history. They took it into the sector, and if they left, some of them left, you take it out, and if you went to another sector. So to me, it's an ITQ. I don't see how anybody has explained it otherwise. There was somebody there from Washington speaking for National Marine Fisheries, and he said that the National Marine Fisheries hasn't yet put together their advisory language on sectors. And sectors have not been defined in the last authorization of Magnuson. So my question is, if they haven't finished the guideline language, which they said would probably be done this summer or fall, how can you be forming something that you really don't know what that something is? And if what you're forming is really what the word sector is going to mean. I have questions. I also have a question that, as I speak to fishermen, they say they see plenty of fish. And at that meeting last week, there were fishermen, and if they all agreed on one thing, they agreed there were dogfish all over. And I remember listening to the conversation in Newport before Christmas where it was a struggle to get more allocation of dogfish. And then I start to think of how is National Marine Fisheries knowing how much fish is in the resource. Before 94 with Amendment 5, obviously what came to the dock, landings, were part of your formula or methodology. But now after Amendment 4 went into place and as it has progressed and things have been bigger mesh sizes, less places to fish, more direction on where you fish, closed areas, if you're still using the same methodology or formulas, I don't know the correct word to use, to get the population of the fish, I think there must be a big problem. Because what's landed now really is no indication of what's in the resource. So I don't know what you're using. I see in scalloping they've changed their formula. But I don't know what you've done in multi-species. But when I hear fishermen say there's fluke all over, there's dogfish all over, if they cut dogfish open, they're full of small lobsters. And then I hear the conversation here when I'm present on multi-species issues. I feel there has to be something wrong with the way that you are doing the population on fish. And I wish you would think about it, because what you're doing now as you move forward, you're impacting people's lives. You're going to stop them. When you talk about all these things, rationalization, this just isn't cutting up a bunch of lottery tickets and throwing them in the basket. These are people, communities, the way they make a living. And I would ask that you take it more serious and that you look at your science, because no matter what you do, the allocation is going to come from science. And no matter where you talk in fishing, it always is the allocation. Thank you.
Chris.
Chris Brown, Rhode Island Commercial Fishermen Association. I'm not a big fan of A-Days, or Days at Sea, rather. But it occurred to me the other day that when a person goes through the trouble of purchasing a second permit, or a third, he is encouraged to run them in series. Given that fuel is 3+ a gallon, it makes a whole lot more sense from a fisherman's perspective to run them in parallel. When you turn one permit on, turn the other one on. When you go fishing, catch twice as much. You're already on the grounds. It just seems so simple that we've not entertained it until now. I don't know why it wouldn't work. It doesn't call for any dramatic changes, and it could be part of our solution going forward. Thank you.
Okay. We'll go back to the council. Turn it over, back over to Rep. Sorry, Dr. Weinberg.
Thanks. Jim Weinberg from the Science Center. And there were a few remarks made about the science, and I just want to make some general reply to that. First of all, the assessments that we do are all done, in my opinion, very seriously. So none of that is done lightheartedly. They are also independently peer-reviewed, and they're public meetings. So anyone who wants to attend one of these meetings, which often last for a whole week, some of you at the table have sat through SARCs and are aware of how those meetings are held and their rigor. So if people became a little more aware of the process that we go through when we do a stock assessment, that I think would help people to understand how seriously we take it and how hard an effort is made to try to arrive at the truth. And we encourage people, if they have information that we don't know about, to try to relay that to us We're not a closed group. And so, for instance, with the dogfish comments that were just made, if there's an important piece of information that we are not using, definitely tell us that and come and work with us.
Okay. Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're going to get back into sector issues. Earlier in the day, Tom brought up the letter that the council was sent from the service, the regional office. The committee has addressed many of the items that were brought up in that letter. There are four that I have that were not addressed, and I'll